When you think of the Indianapolis 500, poetry probably isn't the first thing to come to mind. The race hasn't had an official poet since 1920, when William Herschel's poems were printed in the race program each year. This year, the organization Indiana Humanities wanted to bring back the Indy 500 official poet, so they ran a contest to pick the best poem to be read at qualifications. Bloomington resident Adam Henze was the winner. The 100th running of the race has come and gone, but reviving the tradition of the race day poet is just the beginning of integrating art into the motor speedway. WFHB reporter Casey Ross, who just so happens to be a native of Speedway, sat down with Henze before he read his poem at qualifications to talk about his work and how the Indianapolis 500 is incorporating more arts into the race. We bring you her story now for today's WFHB Community Report.
I moved to Speedway, Indiana in 8th grade. I wasn't born and raised around the Indy 500 like a lot of my friends, but the annual race quickly became a part of my identity. I began counting down until the month of May each year, and once May did roll around, I could hear the Indy cars from my high school English classes. I often tell people that I'm from the town with the motor speedway instead of just saying I'm from Speedway, Indiana. You would understand if you drove through the town. The race is just woven into our culture. There's a checkered flag on every block, and most people have been going to the race since they were born. This past Memorial Day weekend was a huge one for my community. It was the 100th running of the Indy 500. Over 350,000 people crammed into my less than 5-square-mile town. Every lawn I passed was parking cars, there were vendors everywhere, and everybody was outside celebrating. This year, the Indy 500 revived an old tradition, and I'm not just talking about 10 years ago old. The Indiana Humanities revived the race poet, a tradition that hadn't been used since the 1920s. Indiana journalist and poet William Herschel wrote poetry for the 25-cent race day program throughout the 1920s. However, the Great Depression hit, and William Herschel's poems disappeared from the programs. Time passed, and numerous traditions came and went. This year, in an effort to incorporate more art into the Indianapolis 500 for the 100th running, the Indiana Humanities ran a contest to pick the first race poet in over 90 years, and IU student Adam Henze was the winner. When I heard a Bloomington native was going to be reciting his poem at the Indy 500, I jumped at the opportunity to talk to him. I sat down with Adam the weekend before qualifications to ask him about his journey in writing the winning poem.
I'm Casey Ross, and I'm sitting here with Adam Henze. He's the official poet of the Indianapolis 500. And this is a really big story for me because I actually grew up in Speedway.
Oh, cool.
So this is really big. I mean, it is the 100th running.
Yeah.
Which I call my mom like every day, and she's like, oh my gosh, all this cool stuff is happening downtown right now. So can you explain how you first got into poetry?
Sure. Thank you for having me. I first got into poetry. I wrote really bad, angsty poetry when I was like in middle school, so I don't know if that really counts. And then I really didn't have much of an outlet when I was a younger person. I was, you know, I didn't have theater or writing or performance or any of the things that I'm really into now that I kind of like sink my everything into. So I was really kind of depressed and struggling with my own voice and who I was and my identity and my self-esteem and all these things. And I remember there was this television show called Deaf Poetry. It was on HBO. And I saw these really awesome poets speaking so confidently and boldly about their own obstacles in their lives and their own, you know, trials and tribulations. And I looked at the TV and I said, I want to do that. And this is about the same time that I just randomly stumbled into my team's speech and debate office, and I really, really liked it, and it kind of started from there. I did poetry interpretation and those types of events. I started writing my own poetry. I had a full scholarship to go to Western Kentucky University to be on the speech team, and that's where my friends and I started a slam team there, and that's when I got into education and yada, 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 all that stuff.
So let's move a little bit forward to the poem that you're going to be reciting at the Indy 500 qualifications.
Sure.
So how did you even stumble upon this?
So my friends, a couple friends sent me a link. So what happened was the Indiana Humanities sponsored this contest for the 100th running of the race. And with all the excitement with the 100th, a lot of people have been going back and looking at old programs and looking at history. And they found that from the 1922 to 1929, a poem by Indiana journalist William Herschel was included in every race program. They were kind of very rhymey and quaint and, you know, very kind of friendly. Old school 1920s type of poetry, which I think is interesting because, you know, it, to me, it probably didn't seem that weird 90 years ago for there to be a poem on race day. But now everyone's been like, isn't it crazy that poetry's at the 500? And I don't think it's that crazy. I think it fits pretty well. If Diplo can be rapping in the snake pit, then why can't there be a poem at the victory podium? So I feel very lucky and fortunate that my poem was picked out of the 200 entries. And I feel like I've kind of now become a representative both for the poetry community and an ambassador for the Indianapolis 500. And I'm just like super fortunate and very, very thankful that people care about poetry being at the 500.
They definitely do. I went home last weekend and a lot of people are excited. And a lot of people didn't know that poetry was a part of the 500's history, and then that I reminded them and they're like, that's really cool.
I really think that the Indianapolis 500, I think people have, I think there's this conversation lately about like what a fan is. I love that there are art people who are now in the 500 and there are poets who are part of the 500. And I think what it tells a lot of people is that there is not this, there's this preconceived notion of what a fan is and what poetry is and what the race is. And I hope that this really dispels a lot of that.
What is the writing process like for you?
Okay, so like I said, I heard about this and I've been to the Indianapolis 500 once. I've been to Carb Day one time. I only lived in Indianapolis for about 5 years. Mm-hmm. My friend had bronze passes 1 year, so we got to like tour Gasoline Alley and stuff like that. So I've been to the race, I've been to the track several times. I've been to the race once. So I have my own experiences, but, you know, I grew up in a different city, you know, so I didn't really, like, come from a, I didn't come from, like, your background where you just, like, grew up with the race, you know? So I really wanted to get that perspective. So one of my best friends, he's a teacher in Indianapolis. His name is Evan Treese. I actually sat down and interviewed him. I even, like, audio recorded it and transcribed it like a big dork. So, you know, like, I really just asked him about like, hey, what's it like growing up with this culture? What is it like, you know, having parents that are into the 500 and, you know, you grew up not being old enough to go and listening to it on the radio. And then one day you get to finally like go to the big race. And he like shuts down his entire May and dedicates everything to it. He was at the track on opening day, you know? So like, I feel like he's a super fan. So I combine a lot of his observations with my own observations, but a lot of the observations about like kids and families and things like that from my poem are I stole them from him like poets are supposed to do. I even asked him, I was like, well, why not NASCAR? Why not Formula One? Why the Indy 500? Why IndyCar? Why do people from Indianapolis love this? And he said, I don't know, man. We just love fast, loud things. And I actually stole that, and that became the title for those who love fast, loud things.
Well, if you'd be okay with reading your poem.
Sure. Totally. I think I've got it memorized.
Awesome. This is the practice.
This is the practice.
Awesome.
This is called For Those Who Love Fast, Loud Things. This poem is for the track folk who just love the smell of ethanol, for the Carb Day cut sleeve sporters, the snake pit dancers, and coke lot campers with bald eagle bandanas. This anthem is for the hearts that have surged to the scope of the pagoda, for the hands that know the feeling of slapping the North Vista tunnel ceiling, for the lips that whisper along with Florence Henderson when she sings, yes, this poem is for the 500 fans that love fast, loud things, the hot dog chompers, and buttermilk sippers, and granddads with ledger pads and suede cases and locked zippers. This is for every kid that stood along the stretch, with toes on top of a cooler and their fingers gripping the fence. For the open-wheel gearheads, parade waivers, and Legends Day fans. For the moms smeared with baby sunscreen changing diapers in the stands. This is for the brickyard pickers, marching band clappers, bucket drummers, and Gasoline Alley cats. This is for the pit crews, the announcers, the flyby pilots in the sky. For the girl who'd never seen her dad cry until the day Dan Weldon died. This is for the Andy Griffith neighbors, the binocular watchers, the concession yellers hawking cold brews. This is for every shoulder with a Memorial Day tattoo. This is for the drivers willing to go bumper to bumper, for the flag flappers and the earbud and clutched palm fist pumpers. This is your poem, Indianapolis, taking the turn with direct injection. Race fans, thank you for being the sparks that start the engines.
That, like, brought my whole race experience back. I can picture myself at the track. Well,
thank you. That's a great compliment.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, Adam, I thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Casey, thank you so much for having me on.